Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I wish to discuss with you the faith of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, there are several major themes in Hebrews. We learn of the supremacy of Christ over man, over angels, over Moses, over everything. We read of warnings and remedies and preventions of apostasy. There is also the call to faith, especially in the 11th chapter. This chapter has been properly titled The Hall of Faith because it contains the names of people of great faith in times past. Those people looked beyond what they could see with the physical eye and even beyond their own experiences. Having the Word of God, they were confident of unseen things as much and probably more than that which was seen. The evidence God had provided convinced them of unseen realities. Friend, it is foolish to dismiss the unseen simply because it's unseen. We do not actually see life, or spirit, or love, or thought, but we see irrefutable evidences of their existence. Faith is defined in Hebrews 1 and verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith is not just a shot in the dark. It is not just a leap into the unknown. God has never asked man to believe anything without sufficient evidence whereby he can be sure of what he believes. Faith is rational, it's intelligent, provoking confidence and assurance. We can know by faith because faith is based upon divinely given testimony. Romans 10:17 tells us faith cometh of hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith begins and ends with the limits of this testimony. Faith makes the unseen certain because God has declared it so and given assurance of it. It is vital to our spiritual welfare that we understand the biblical faith. Now, faith saves. In Romans 5 in verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The faith that saves is an active faith that will cause us to do as we ought. It has the unique quality of demanding action. We wish to consider some of these qualities and actions of saving faith as is demonstrated here in Hebrews chapter 11. Saving faith provokes worship and sacrifice. The church is to offer spiritual sacrifices, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. And among them is the sacrifice of praise, Hebrews 13:15. Abel offered sacrifice to God by faith, Hebrews 11:4. God had obviously instructed what was to be done because to act by faith requires the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Worship has always been expected from man by the Lord. And even now, as Jesus taught, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. Matthew 4:10, Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now some want to worship their own way. And this explains why there are so many different rituals and ceremonies and new ideas and fads in religion. How to worship has not been left to man, however, to determine. Worship infers respect and honor toward God. We cannot worship acceptably if we show no respect for what God has said regarding how we are to worship. We are to worship by singing and praying, observing the Lord's Supper, giving of our means, and studying His Word. Friend, this is that which is revealed in the New Testament as the practice of the early Christians as they were guided by inspired men, men guided by the Holy Spirit. And while we realize how wrong it is to worship God according to our own will, is it not just as rebellious to refuse to be present at those times when God is to be worshipped according to His will? Saving faith provides the way in which we are to walk in life. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, he said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Romans 4 and verse 12, "And the Father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, yet being uncircumcised." 1 John 1 and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Genesis 5 and verse 24 tells us, "Enoch walked with God, and was not, for God took him." Hebrews 11 and verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had testimony that he pleased God." Now, friend, to walk by faith is not to live blindly, guessing, merely hoping and wishing that you're on or going the right direction. It means to walk or live with confidence because you're going in harmony with the revealed will of the Lord. It is nonsense, however, to claim a saving faith but live life our own way, like the sinful world, separated from God, contradictory to his way. It should be obvious that we cannot walk by faith without a knowledge of the faith. Ignorance of the will of God is at the foundation of waywardness of the way to live, and that's the way so many unfortunately pursue. But we learn that saving faith means works of obedience. There is no conflict between salvation by faith and salvation by works of obedience. One without the other amounts to nothing. James 2, 17 and 18, verse 20, 22, and 24, this is what it says. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Friend, we're not saved by works of which we can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We're not saved by works of our own righteousness, Titus 3, 3 through 5, nor can we be saved by works of the Mosaic Law, Romans 3 and verse 20. But saving faith necessarily demands obedience. Genesis 6 and verse 22, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Noah obeyed, but now notice, Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house." Noah's obedient faith saved his own family and condemned the wicked world that rejected that faith. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. In every example of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, every one of them, the people acted obediently upon the testimony received. And saving faith is life-giving. Genesis 15 and verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he was counted unto him for righteousness." Now this was said of Abraham. Man cannot be saved by his own righteousness, Titus 3, 3 through 5. Eternal life is dependent upon the righteousness of God. We are either saved God's way, friend, or will not be saved at all. The benefits of his righteousness are appropriated by an active and obedient faith, Romans 5 and verse 2. And Abraham's faith led him to obey, Hebrews 11, 3. And he looked for a city, Hebrews 11 and 10. He offered Isaac as a sacrifice, Hebrews 11, 17. This is evidence of a perfected faith that assured him of a life with God. And saving faith provokes the making of right decisions. Moses often was faced with the momentous decisions, even early in life. Reared in Pharaoh's court, educated in ways of the Egyptians, realizing that he was an Israelite and Israel was God's nation, he had to make a decision where he would take his stand. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Now, by worldly standards, Moses made a foolish choice in forsaking the power and the wealth and the prestige and the pleasure, and possibly even the throne of Egypt. But he chose hardship and suffering and trials and affliction, being reproached even as Christ was reproached. He did this in order to do God's will. He did it to be with God's people. By faith he chose the way of life, God's way. Going God's way is seldom the easiest way, but it is the best and the right way. In fact, it is the only way that provides genuine happiness both now and in the hereafter. And the power of faith is seen in other matters mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Israel was delivered from Egypt. The walls of Jericho fell. Gideon, with few men, routed Midian. Barak and Deborah and Samson and Jephthah and many others did mighty things for God because of a strong faith. Their faith did not allow them to wait and see the end of things. Regardless of how things turned out, they followed God's will. They knew that God said that they should obey him, and that they had confidence in God, respecting the evidence that God gave them. The Bible says they kept the faith, and they were determined to do that come what may. But what of my faith? And friend, what of your faith? Is it like those of Hebrews 11? Oh, let us not deceive ourselves. If our faith is not like their faith, how can we be saved? Faith is one avenue of knowing. Based upon divine testimony, we can be sure and we can be confident of the truth. We do not live life with a maybe soul regarding right and wrong. Faith leaves no room for doubt. Away with the false notion that if we accept something by faith, there is room for doubt. To so teach is to promote agnosticism. We can be as sure of truth as we can be sure the Bible is the Word of God. What Scripture reveals is not just the most likely and the most probable and the best of alternatives. The Bible is God's inerrant and infallible Word, and we can rely upon it. We're saved by faith, and without it we cannot be saved. Our faith, however, must lead us to obey, to worship, to sacrifice, and to live each day God's way, making the right decisions and doing all of this with confidence. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.